Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. G7 in the beautiful Rocky Mountains of Canada. And Gordon Chang, at Gordon G. Chang, joins me. And our colleague Rebecca Grant, the vice president of the Lexington Institute, is here to comment on a headline from the South China Morning Post, remembering that the SCMP is no longer owned by the Wall Street Journal. It's owned by the Chinese Communist Party through cutouts. So Trump says he'd welcome China and U.S. at odds with bloc stance. U.S. leader calls Kremlin's 2014 expulsion a big mistake, expulsion from the G7. As a summit starts in Canada. Gordon, you have a question for Rebecca.
Rebecca, do Russia and China belong in a expanded G7, a G8 or a G9?
Not at this point. When they have their BRICS, which has a pretty big share of the world GDP, I can't imagine having these two no limits, nasty allies in the G7. I think Trump is really just riffing on what the world we wish was still there, which was a world of economic cooperation. Of course, Russia was in the G7 for a little while till that invasion of Crimea back in 2014. But I can't imagine China in that clubby capitalist atmosphere.
And what would the game be? Can we game this out a little bit? Whose advantage is Xi Jinping and Vladimir Putin showing up in the Canadian Rockies?
Well, I can certainly see that Donald Trump would enjoy having everybody at a big table where they could talk tariffs and deals and run the world in the way that he wishes it could be run, which is with economic prosperity front and center. Not a bad approach, by the way. But I think at this point, simply so unrealistic. That's why, to me, he's sort of being imaginary here and saying, you know, wouldn't it be nice if we had a world where relations were smoother and we could have these countries in there? Also, I think pushing back a little bit against the G7, showing the primacy of the U.S., reminding the G7 that without U.S. participation, they're nothing so special. No question, China's economy is quite dominant, but Russia's economy, smaller than Canada's the last time I looked.
Gordon, you have a question for Rebecca.
Rebecca, you talk about Trump trying to remind the G7 that it is the United States that stirs the drink. Trump actually left the Alberta meeting early because presumably the Iran-Israel war. What do you think the effect of that was on the remaining six of the G7?
I think the remaining six, some of whom are new, like Keir Starmer, Japan's prime minister, and of course, Mark Carney himself, though everybody knows him, is a good chance for them to talk. Don't forget that most of this group will meet again at the NATO summit later this month. The G7 also had a number of guests this time, as they so often do, and kind of went about business as usual. I see it a little differently. I'm glad Trump went at all. I think he put in the appearance he needed to. He clearly did need to be back in Washington, D.C. to evaluate matters with Israel and Iran. So I think it was good that he showed up at the G7 in the first place, frankly.
Rebecca, there is talk that transnational alliances left over from the 20th century are not only antiques, they're obstreperous. What is your opinion of this? The UN, NATO, OSCE, OAS, I could go on, ECOWAS in West Africa, the African Union, all left over from the Cold War in the 20th century. Do we need them?
Oh, I could get rid of a lot of those acronym organizations. And of course, sad to say how irrelevant the UN seems, both with Ukraine, with Gaza, with Israel and Iran. But NATO, that is a great alliance now with 32 members. And I'm still a fan of the G7, which was set up really with pretty modest ambitions to just encourage relations, get finances in order. And I think the G7 really has a big mandate here as we move through the 21st century. And I'm a fan.
Gordon, you have a question.
Rebecca, I'd like to echo that. I mean, we have a world which is divided already. A lot of people in Washington and New York don't want to recognize that, but the world is divided, and we're on the edge of global conflict. It seems to me that the world's great democracies need to get together, need to change their views of the world, and need to start acting. How do you see it?
I agree 100%. And that's why, you know, NATO and the G7 are still such viable organizations. We have to realize that Russia, China, Iran, and of course, North Korea, and they're trying to draw in others every day. There is now another alternative for economies in the global south, for a number of burgeoning economies. It'd be interesting to see where India ends up in all of this before all is said and done. So some of the best things we've done have been to sort of reshape our leaner alliances, G7, the Quad in the Pacific. But above all, we've got to realize that China and Russia seem to be in it for the long haul. And we are in the fight of our lives against China in economics, tech, trade, you name it.
Meanwhile, Rebecca, I understand you once pulled on a helmet and got in a G suit and sat in a B-2. Help us understand what it's like to fly in an aircraft that is much in the news these days, with the theory that the only thing to be done about Fordo is a great big bomb that the B-2 can deliver. What's it like inside?
Lucky me, I flew with the devil's own Grim Reapers in about a 3-hour B-2 mission back almost 10 years ago. Inside that cockpit, the seats are surprisingly nice, but wow, let me tell you, a lot of flat screens, scopes, throttles, and switches, and just enough room behind the two seats for one of the two pilots to stretch out and take a short nap. The B-2, of course, is the world's only stealth bomber, America's most unique aircraft, and it carries that massive ordnance penetrator. Two of them fit into the bomb bay of the B-2, or you can fill it with 80 500-pound bombs. Because it's stealthy and precise and has great satellite communication links back to command centers and other offboard platforms, the B-2 can do globe-spanning missions. You know, the longest B-2 mission ever flown was 44 hours from Missouri to strike targets in Afghanistan. And that's why the B-2 is so much in the conversation today as we look at a possibility, and I'm sure the president's been briefed, on what the B-2 could do against hardened underground sites in Iran.
Is it noisy inside?
The B-2 is so quiet inside. The engines are all internal. You can't see them, and they are muffled and masked for their infrared signatures. Also, there's no fuselage. So when you look out the windscreen, which has a goldish tint to it, you can't see anything but the sky. Despite this, it's surprisingly agile, turns beautifully, and, you know, it's almost as big as the B-52, really long, long wingspan, like an alien craft and a real tribute to American technology. It's a nuclear bomber, too, and still part of the triad, but incredible that we are today talking about the B-2 being able to help rid us of the nuclear menace of Iran, whether that's just through pressure and deterrence or through actually carrying out operations.
And they're based in the United States in St. Louis, I believe. I'm not sure.
Whiteman Air Force Base in Missouri, out in the farmland, the heartland of America. And from there, they can fly any place in the world using maybe 15 to 20 aerial refueling tankers. They can fly that pattern west over the pole, out through the east. Ideally, they would then recover at that forward base in Diego Garcia in the Indian Ocean. Remember, we saw six B-2s on the runway there earlier this year.
Rebecca Grant, Vice President of the Lexington Institute, Gordon Chang at Gordon G. Chang.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Moro Casino. America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Chances are, you've been to the doctor recently, and you probably handed over your insurance, your ID, and even your social security number. Your doctor is just one of many places that has your personal info. And if any of them accidentally expose your details, you could be at risk for identity theft. LifeLock monitors millions of data points a second. If you become a victim, they'll fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART or go to lifelock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.